Lisa, I want to apologize if my laughing during your time for Young Disciples was distracting to you. I was laughing because I know what I'm about to say, and you did not. And that is that my first job in the summer after I turned 15 was as a lifeguard. I swear, I planned to say this before her time for Young Disciples. And I know it's a little hard to imagine this looking at me now, but I was once a very fast swimmer. And since I wanted to spend all day at the pool anyway, lifeguarding was a great gig. Now, for me, it was mostly uneventful. In about 5 years of lifeguarding, I only had to go in the water for one save, and that kid had already made it to a lane line, so he didn't need CPR. He just needed to be kind of pulled out of the water. But I do remember much of the training, and one thing that has stuck with me all of these years was the instruction to never shout, "Somebody call an ambulance." Instead, we were taught to look up, pick a person, make eye contact, and say, "You, in the pretty shawl, go, call 911. The idea of this training, the point of that is twofold. First is that if someone is in shock or panicking, they may actually forget the numbers 911, so it's good to remind them. And the second is because of something called the bystander effect, or the diffusion of responsibility. The diffusion of responsibility means that as more people become capable of doing something, each individual person feels less responsible for doing it. Now, some time ago, this was during a time for Young Disciples, one of you, I think Gail Allen, told us a story about this. That story goes like this. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Gail, was this you? Kathy? Okay, my apologies, Kathy. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody would not do it. In the end, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. We see versions of this too in the church, where it can even lead to resentment, both by the people who keep being asked to do things, but also by those who do not. I have one friend who grew up frustrated with their family's church because it was always the same people doing everything. And my friend felt like no one else ever got a chance. I promise that person wasn't speaking about this church. They could have been. But this is true of every church to at least some degree. At the time of this conversation, I wasn't even here yet, but I was working on staff at another church. And speaking as a church staff member, I said that probably it's the same people every time because those are the people who everyone knows will say yes. If I have to start calling people to ask them to volunteer for something, I am going to design my call order with the goal of making the fewest calls possible. And that is usually going to mean rounding up the usual suspects. And this is a challenge for really everyone, everywhere, and every organization, but it is a challenge for churches in particular because, as Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We are each given different gifts, different talents, different abilities. And so we each have something that we can offer in the service of our neighbor, in the service of our church, and in the service of God. God has given us these gifts to be used, but so often we fail to act while we wait for somebody else to come and fix it or change it or do it. Even worse, often we gather together and talk amongst ourselves, trying to figure out whose fault it is that something hasn't been done, even as we continue to not do it. Thankfully, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not such a person. It is easy for preachers reading the story of the wedding at Cana to preach a sermon on the abundance of God. I am always boggled by the math of this story, and I am fighting to restrain myself from walking you through all of it, but I want to just say that the quantity of wine that Jesus brought is not like he ran up to Food Lion and threw a couple bottles in the car. It's not like he ran up to Food Lion and filled his trunk. This is a U-Haul filled with wine. But the point here today is not to the quantity, but that truckload of wine showed up at this party because of Mary. To paraphrase from the security posters I used to regularly see on Metro when I lived in D.C., Mary saw something, and Mary said something. She noticed that the wine was running dry, and instead of complaining about the host's failure to think ahead and buy enough, or complaining about these other guests who were too drunk and had had too much, instead of bringing more embarrassment to the newlyweds and their families, Mary goes and finds Jesus. Mary knows that she cannot help directly, but she knows her son can solve this problem, and so she finds him. And now Jesus, perhaps trying to make a point that could be the subject of another sermon, or perhaps just not yet ready to take center stage, deflects. And Mary, in one of her perhaps more maternal moments, maybe not yet ready to see her son as a fully functioning adult, just plows through his objections. She is on a mission. Mary will not be stopped. And so Mary just completely ignores Jesus' protest and tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I want to be a little careful here, and to remind us again that Mary did not have the power to directly solve this problem herself. Mary does not have the miraculous ability to turn water into wine, but she did what she could. As we each have different gifts, we are each lacking different gifts. There are things each of us is unable to do, and when we need to ask for outside help, as Mary did here, we should. But within this group of people gathered here in front of me, watching us online, there are so many different gifts. There are likely so many different gifts that I do not know you have. So as we move into a new year, as we get our new session established and installed next week, As we begin thinking and planning ahead, I hope that we can all look for the ways that we can be involved. I hope that we can remember that as nice as it feels to be asked, sometimes the person asking doesn't know to ask. And ultimately, our gifts are given to us to be used for the common good. And so when we do sit idly by, when we decline the opportunities to use our gifts, not only are we neglecting our community, but we are also neglecting ourselves and God. So I ask, in this still new year, that we look for the ways we may put ourselves and our gifts to use. We speak regularly about giving thanks to God, and the best way to show thanks for any present is to use it. So let us show our thanks to God. Amen.